evening, Broad Street. My name is David. I serve here as a pastoral associate, and I want to extend a word of welcome to all of you this evening, especially those of you who are with us for the first time. Thank you for being here. It is great to have you here in this place. And before we go to God in prayer, I just want to acknowledge that sometimes when we come into a church, there's a lot of things that are heavy on our hearts. There's a lot of things that are joyous on our hearts as well. There's a lot of things that are happening in our life. And so we pause and we pray before we hear the word proclaimed so that we can center for a moment, so we can leave some things behind, set some things down just for a little while, and hope to maybe be surprised by the presence of the living God in our lives. So with that in mind, let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we ask that you would silence every voice within us except for your own. Startle us with your truth, you who are our strength, our rock, our redeemer. Amen. So Daniel Kish was 13 months old when, to save his life, the doctors had to remove his eyes. He was 13 months old, and his mother, Paulette, faced a huge decision. Because it's hard when any child loses the ability to see, but Daniel was rambunctious. See, he was climbing bookshelves before he could walk. And at the thought of him losing his sight, his mother realized that she faced a choice. She faced two paths in front of her. One was to let her fear and her anxiety, the expectations of others, to control what she did with her son, for her to coddle him, to, as her mother said, wrap him in cotton so he doesn't get hurt. Or the other option was to risk something, to banish fear and safety, to challenge the assumptions of what was possible, the expectations of what his life would be. If she had chosen to listen to her fear, I would have never heard his story. His story never would have been told on This American Life. Daniel's life would be very, very different, except she did something extraordinary. She banished her fear. She acknowledged it, but she banished it. She said, "You don't have the ability to choose what I do with my son." She chose a different way. And she told the people around her, her family members, "You know, those expectations you had for my son and for his life, I'm going to have to adjust those just a little bit. I have a different idea about what his life is going to be." Because Paulette saw something in her son. She saw something innate in who he was. She saw something that defied everyone's expectations of what his life could be. And she listened and she watched that. The Canaanite woman in our story this evening sees Jesus going through town, and she sees something different. She sees something that no one else has seen before, something that I don't even think Jesus has seen at this point. She sees something innate about who he is and about the message that he's preaching that he hasn't quite realized yet. And so she banishes her fear. She takes people's expectations for her and she sets them aside because she has a different expectation of what it means for her to be in the world. She has different expectations about what her daughter's life is going to be like. And so she risks absolutely everything. She puts it all on the line, and she makes a scene. She starts yelling after Jesus, and it's pretty annoying because the disciples who, you know, sometimes are a little bit afraid to speak up and say, like, "Hey, I've got some suggestions about how you're sort of directing this whole path," they're like, "Can you just get rid of her? Can you please just silence her? I don't care what you do, just get rid of her." She keeps yelling after them, and finally he engages with her. Except she sees something in Jesus, innate, something about who he is, and she won't be silenced. And the world is a different place because that Canaanite woman banished her fear. The world is fundamentally different because she listened to something that she saw, a hope and a dream in the future. The world is different because of that woman. The world is a different place because of Paulette and Daniel. She decided that the expectations for what it meant for her son to be blind did not apply. And so she was got really comfortable with uncomfortable conversations. One of the first that she talks about is when two police officers showed up with Daniel. See, Daniel had learned that if he clicked his tongue at the very front of his teeth, he learned very early on that if he did that, when he was 13 months old, he learned if he did that, that he could actually find his way through the world. He found out that there were ways for him to echolocate in the way that a bat does. He learned that there were ways for him to explore the world. And sure, he fell a lot. There were a lot of injuries. But he learned how to make his way through the world. And so she had some very interesting conversations with neighbors, because no one expects the blind neighbor's kid to be hiking over the fence, which he did. And so she had really uncomfortable conversations with the police chief about how, no, he is going to climb, and that's okay. And yes, it's fine when he's up the tree. He really knows what he's doing, and I'm not worried about him falling. I know I can't watch it, but no, he's fine. She received phone calls from his preschool saying, he keeps clicking, can you make him stop? And she said, well, actually, no, you need to change your expectations, because that's how he sees. That's how he makes his way through the world. So actually, you're going to have to change on this one. And then it got really fun, because Daniel found a bike. And then he found a retaining wall, and he realized that if he clicked a lot and he went along the wall, he could ride his bike, and then he didn't need the wall anymore. And then Daniel found his favorite game when he was a child called dive bombing, which involved going to the top of his street and going as fast as he could and yelling, dive bomb, and which is really great when you're the blind kid and everyone knows you're the blind kid, because everyone scatters. She had some very uncomfortable conversations. And they reached a fever pitch the one time that he yelled dive bomb and went down the street and he hit a pole. Because poles don't know that you're blind and they don't move out of the way. There was blood everywhere and he was injured. He came home and she had a choice. Did she put a stop to it then or did she let it keep going? And Daniel talks about how that Christmas, as he was exploring what was underneath the Christmas tree, he found a wheel and some handlebars and a new bike. See, Paulette had decided that fear wasn't going to rule her life. She was the survivor of domestic violence from Daniel's father. She had been beaten mercilessly along with the boys, and she had decided that their lives were no longer going to be controlled by fear. And people's expectations of what the responsible thing to do, sometimes that didn't work. Sometimes you had to figure it out on your own, and she was going to work this out with Daniel. And so he grew up with expectations that were very different from what anyone else thought. Canaanite woman faces some pretty intense expectations. The phrase Canaanite is a really not great title to be given. The Canaanites were a people, and I say were a people, who were in the land before the Israelites showed up. As Moses is leading the people out of Egypt, they go to a land that actually already has people there, the Canaanites. They are the people that are in the way of what God is doing in the world, and they are driven out. They are put to the edge of the sword. They are annihilated. So the fact that in our gospel story, she is called the Canaanite woman, she is the woman in the way of what God is doing in the world. She gets right in the way of Jesus walking. She falls on her knees in front of him and says, no, there is something about you that is innate. There is something about your message that you don't quite know. Is much broader than you ever thought. It's time to adjust your expectations. And what I love about this story is that Jesus does. Jesus does the really hard thing. He realizes that maybe his expectations are wrong. And he heals the woman's daughter. And do you hear what he does immediately after? He goes to Galilee. Galilee is incredibly diverse. There are farmers who worship all kinds of gods. People from every nation across the Roman Empire are in Galilee. He goes there. He goes right into the heart outside of where all of the Jewish people are in Jerusalem. He goes to Galilee so that he encounters everyone that he possibly can. And there is where he starts healing. There is where he feeds the 5,000. That is where he goes and encounters as many people as possible. And at the end of our scripture reading this evening, there is this massive crowd of unlikely people who are worshiping God. The unlikely crowd of people who never had any claim to what Jesus was talking about initially. They're the ones who are raising up hosannas to the living God. Jesus realizes that the expectations were too small, that who was in and who was out, those barriers were too tight. And he blows out the walls of expectations that people have. Daniel is an adult now, and his job is to blow out the expectations that people have for those who are blind. He trains young children who have either recently become blind or have recently found out about the work that he does, and he does all sorts of great fun activities like climbing trees and rock climbing with them. He puts them in situations that I would be anxious with. I'm afraid of heights, so it sounds terrifying to me. He takes kids and walks them along cliffs. He takes them to parks where there are roads nearby, and he lets kids make mistakes. He is a blind man leading blind children, but he teaches them that they can figure it out, that there is something innate about them, there is something within them, there is possibility for them to move in the world beyond the expectations that most of us would put on these children. And the biggest challenge actually are other people, well-meaning people who have sight, who get really anxious. He tells a story about this child that he's leading towards a very busy road by a park where this kid wants to go play, and he has to teach him how far he can go. This boy has to learn what the sound is of being right on the line, right as the cars are coming back, and when can he stop? And he had to try it so many times because the godmother of this child would come running across the park and stop them because it's a blind man leading a blind child into oncoming traffic. Of course you would. Except it gets in the way. Our expectations of what are possible, that is the biggest challenge that he has. Friends, I wonder for you, what are the expectations that get in the way? What are the expectations that you have of yourself? The things you have to get together in your own life before you think you have any business interacting with your family's life, your friend's life, the life of this city. What are the expectations you place on yourself, the things you have to get together before it's okay to approach God? What are the expectations that you have on yourself for when it's okay to really dream or to risk that new career? What are the questions that have to be answered before you apply to that school on the other side of the country, before you decide that maybe, what med school do I want to go to? What seminary do I want to go to? Am I really called to this? What are those expectations you have of yourself, of the things you have to get together before you dream? Because friends, there's something innate in you. There's something innate in all of you that if we could just adjust our expectations and relieve a little bit of that pressure, I wonder what would happen. But it's hard because it's not just you, right? This isn't just believe in yourself and we can make everything better. It's the expectations of those around you, which is why I'm so glad that you all are here. Because this is a place for dreamers. This is a place for people who blow out the expectations that people had. This was an abandoned church, and look at it now. This is a place where people find their way here who have been damaged by the church and yet still praise God. This is a place where the most unlikely people come and lead. This is a place where everyone is welcomed in and where the expectations we have on each other are put aside and we are open to new possibilities, to discover what is innate in each other. This is a place for dreamers. Daniel figured it out. His mom helped to remove some of the expectations that were on him that got in the way. I wonder for you, what are the expectations that are in the way on yourself or on our city? If you need help along the way, you're not in this alone. Because you figuring out how to remove those expectations and live into your dreams, it frees the rest of us as well. There's something innate in all of you that could change our world. May God show it to us all so that we can support you on the journey. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.